Good morning, everyone. Hopefully you're still awake for this presentation. Sorry if I'm keeping you till this late, but I'm very privileged and very excited to be here for the first time at APHA. This is my first rodeo, so bear with me. The title of my talk is entitled Early Life Exposure to Behavioral Risk Factors of Obesity and Subsequent Weight of Preschool Age Children in Los Angeles. So, I have no relationships to disclose, and a little bit of background before I go on. So, I'm guessing, you know, you all are here because childhood obesity is a major public health problem in the United States, especially, because as we know, one in three children is considered overweight or obese. Not even to mention that, as we know, with the life course perspective, that excessive weight gain very early in life can alter a child's health trajectory over the life course. Excuse me. And new research has also shown that today's obese children are prone and more likely to become tomorrow's obese adults, putting them at further risk for cardiovascular disease and metabolic disease. So we have to do something about it. Other things that are worthwhile to be noted as well is that there's not a lot of studies that have looked at the early life weight on the subsequent weight for height Z-score, and I'll talk a little bit about why I chose this measure among preschool age children using appropriate measures that account for time-bearing covariates. So the objectives of this study are twofold, actually threefold, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But the main purpose of this study was to illustrate how modern causal analytical tools can be used to determine whether weight gain during the preschool age years is influenced by weight status early in life, as well as the effect of selective eating and physical activity behaviors on subsequent weight. So we used data from the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infant, and Children, abbreviated WIC, which provides food assistance and nutritional education for low-income pregnant women, postpartum women, and children under the age of five. So the PHFA WIC also maintains the WIC administrative data set that records the socio-demographics for children, as well as the anthropometric data at each recertification when the kids come. And that occurs about every 6 to 12 months as well, as we'll see. They also implement a survey about every 3 years on a random sample of about 5,000 families within Los Angeles County. And these data, the survey particularly, contains behavioral data on obesity risk factors, as well as other risk factors as well, but it is to be able to help address the specific needs of the population. So to be able to follow these children longitudinally and prospectively, we linked those two together, and we're able to follow about 1,000 eligible low-income preschool age children in Los Angeles County, and we included the first three measurements. This is just a chart to show that the first measurement was taken within 6 months of the survey, which was implemented between April and July of 2008. The subsequent measurement was done at wave one, and the third and last was done at wave two. This is a causal diagram that encodes the hypothesized relationships that we are assuming. So for example, here we are assuming and hypothesizing that the baseline weight for height Z-score would determine the subsequent and later weight for height Z-score as well. We chose weight for height Z-score here as an indicator of adiposity because it's appropriate for that age, because the age that we're studying is between 1 and 5 years old, and is appropriate for assessing the adiposity trajectories in growing children, and it is also independent of the height. This causal diagram helps us also determine which covariates may play a role as a potential confounders As you see here, we have birth weight, gender, race and ethnicity, family income, education, language preference, maternal age, maternal BMI, and as well as follow-up. I'll say a little word about maternal BMI. We have about 30% missing data on maternal BMI particularly. So we have two models, one with it and one without it. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that we assessed the overall effect of the baseline weight for height Z-score on the later weight for height Z-score at the end of follow-up. But the other thing that we did also is to assess whether the first weight for height Z-score at baseline, as well as the subsequent weight for height Z-score, would both have an effect on the end of follow-up weight for height Z-score. It's basically like a joint effect to see, even if the baseline weight for height Z-score has an effect, we want to know in addition to the subsequent weight to that one, would have an overall effect on the end of follow-up weight for height Z-score. So we used a multivariable linear mixed model with random intercept because children were nested within families. And we also used a method called G-computation algorithm, which is an epidemiologic method that was designed by a physician epidemiologist by the name of Robbins, Dr. Jamie Robbins, who designed this method to account for time-varying covariates, especially those who are affected by prior exposures. So we use this in this case as well, and you can also think of it as a method to standardize over the past, the history of past covariates, for example. I'm going to skip about a little bit of the G computation implementation because it can be a little complex, but if you want to talk about it, I will be very happy to tell you a little bit more about it. But basically, we just model the different outcomes, which is weight for height Z-score at the end of follow-up, as well as the mediator here, which was considered the second time point. And then we use the parameters from these models to predict to predict the potential outcomes using those parameters that we obtain. And then we fit a final marginal model at the end to estimate the different effects that you'll see at the end. So the results, so our population, the mean age for the children, including our population, was about 23 months. They were followed for about a period of 2 years, and there was about the same amount of boys and girls in the sample. The maternal, the family monthly income was about $1,400. As you can imagine, it's a low-income population. And 22% of our children were breastfed for 6 months or more. About 34% viewed TV for less than an hour. 62% consumed fruits and vegetables, more than 5 fruits and vegetables a day. And about two-thirds of them did not consume more than one serving a day of sugar-sweetened beverage. These are the two models that I mentioned earlier. The first one, model one, is a model that includes all the covariates that I showed in the causal diagram, but not including the maternal BMI, as I mentioned, because we have some missing data. If you look at the sample size, it will decrease about 30% when we do it add that third variable because of the missing data pattern for that particular variable. So if we focus on the first model, for example, and you know, all the both models actually gave the same results, but it was just to show that we had more sample size with the first model. So the effect of weight for height Z1, which is the baseline weight for height Z-score, on the end of follow-up weight for height Z is positive, as you can see here, 0.48, is significant here. The joint total effect, and abbreviated GTE, is basically, as I mentioned before, the effect of the baseline weight on the end of follow-up weight in addition to the effect of the subsequent, which is the weight for height Z-score, at the second time point on the end of follow-up weight Z-score, and as well as the interaction of both time points weight. And if you just add them up, you'll see that the GTE, which is the joint total effect, is exactly the sum of the different effects. When we looked at the different early life behavioral risk factors on the end of follow-up, we saw that, expectedly, that, for example, breastfeeding for 6 months or more was protective of excessive weight gain. However, the other risk factors that we assessed in this sample did not show any meaningful results in terms of being significant and not. So, not consuming fruits and vegetables, not viewing TV for less than an hour, or I can't see, or consuming sugar sweetened beverage for just zero, not ever consuming sugar sweetened beverage did not show any effect on the weight for heart disease score at the end of follow-up. So this is the first model, and the second model also just shows about the same. It's protective of weight for heart disease score, the excessive weight gain. So obviously our study has some limitations because it only includes a population that has three measurements, so we excluded the children that had one or two measurements, which makes our sample more, which, because I don't know if you saw that on the first table, it was about 64% of the sample that was Hispanic, but it was because we excluded the other, the children that had one or two measurements, which were less likely to be Hispanic as well. And we were happy to see that breastfeeding for at least 6 months or more is again and again protective against later weight gain, which comforts us. And again, if you have anyone who just has a baby, please advise them to continue or consider breastfeeding for 6 months or more. Also, as we mentioned before, today's obese children are more likely or prone to become tomorrow's obese adult. And this also has been seen here, that early weight gain will play an important role in determining subsequent weight. So it is important when we do think of obesity prevention to start very early, because in every time point is also an opportunity for us to try to reduce the weight, because it will play and track into the weight of the child when it grows up. So tackling weight gain as well as the multiple risk factors simultaneously early in life are important strategies for preventing obesity later in life. I'd like to thank my co-authors, some of whom are here today, and also the funding source as well. So those are the reference, and thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much. Yeah. No, just stay here.
Okay.
We have time for maybe one question. Is there one question from the auditorium? Yes.
Oh, so you're asking if we also measured the mother's weight? Yes, so that's the variable that, I mean, not measured, but I think it was self-reported. Yeah, self-reported. And those measure was used to create the body mass index variable, which we did include in the second model. Does that answer the question? Oh, we didn't look at the how the mother's weight influenced the children's weight in this particular scenario, but yeah, that would be an interesting thing to see. Yeah, but I would assume that it has some effect despite being in a model that is adjusted for other covariates as well. But we did not specifically look at that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the presenters today, and also for the great questions that you asked and the patience that you had, because we went a bit over time. Thank you so much.